Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
You don't have to be great to get started, but you have to start to be great.
Today on episode 426 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with Femi Openeya, the founder of Linked Optimization. I'm going to ask Femi how he created success after 2 years of failing to start and 3 more years of failing starts, how he uses his niche of high ticket sales through LinkedIn to help his ideal clients and in turn build recurring revenue in his business, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about Femi, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode, on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. Email me and let me know what you want to hear from our guests. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Now let's welcome Femi Openeya. Femi is the founder and CEO of Linked Optimization, which provides a fully outsourced LinkedIn lead generation service to enable sales professionals and businesses to generate B2B leads on LinkedIn. Femi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, David. I really appreciate it.
It's great to have you on. So Femi, why did you launch Linked Optimization?
So for two main reasons. So the first is to create time freedom for myself and my family. A lot of people chase money, and although it's great to have, I believe that time is the most precious commodity that we have. And I want the ability to do what I want, when I want, with whom I want. The second thing was to actually challenge myself and be creative. So I was a terrible employee. I spent most of my time avoiding work and waiting for the day to be over. But what I realized that in the end, I was actually doing both myself and the company a disservice. So my main aim is to add value and to be productive, which is why I became an entrepreneur. So that's why I became an entrepreneur in 2014. But this actually started, so I made the decision to become an entrepreneur in 2009. I didn't actually take it until 2014. And the reason I say that is I was working in investment banking at the time, and the financial crisis occurred and I lost my job. I became extremely depressed at that point, to the point of actually becoming suicidal. And there was about a 2 to 3 week period where I decided in my mind that, look, I need to just end all of this hopelessness. And so I'd actually picked the means by which I was going to commit suicide. And this would normally occur in the afternoon after I'd been applying for jobs. So I'd be applying for jobs for about 4 hours during the day. And then I'd get so depressed that I thought, okay, you know what? This needs to be the period. And at that point where I was so low, I would actually just crawl into bed and fall asleep. And so that avoided me committing suicide for about 2 weeks. And then I got to the point where I said, look, I hate my job anyway. I can't believe it got me so low that I wanted to commit suicide. And that's when I decided, okay, I need to determine what is authentically me. And that was when I made the decision that I needed to do something else. But I didn't take that decision until 2014 when I quit investment banking.
Okay. So why do you think it took you several years until you actually launched your new business?
I was a coward. Fear, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for the right moment. I was waiting for the right people to be involved. I spoke to a bunch of my friends about doing something, and you know, they always gave me some kind of excuses, and I felt in the back of my mind that I wasn't intelligent enough to run my own business, and all of these things hampered me for so many years. Until I decided one day, look, I can't continue doing this. I was dreadfully unhappy. And that's when I decided within one day that I was going to quit my job. And I made that decision. I walked in the next day, wrote out my resignation letter, and I handed it in. At that point, I had no idea what I was going to do. I just knew that I couldn't stay doing the same thing over and over again that made me unhappy.
So it sounds like the day that you decided to actually quit was no more the right time than 5 years earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could have quit at any point. So it really didn't make a difference. And that's what I try to stress that to everyone. So I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and he said to me, oh, well, you know, I've not found my calling. And a lot of people believe that they need some kind of calling. But what I said to him is that, look, even my business is not perfect. There is never a perfect time. There's never a perfect business. There's never a perfect situation. And there's a saying that always springs to mind for me. And it's that you don't have to be great to get started, but you have to start to be great. And I think that really sums it up and what people and that's what people should really bear in mind.
That is a terrific saying. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. And how's business now?
Business is really good. It's good. I mean, I've found it difficult because from, well, 2014, when I quit, you know, I figured I would leave the corporate world and I would be successful immediately. But that really wasn't the case. I mean, things actually went from bad to worse. So from 2014 to 2017, every single business that I started, without exception, failed. And I lost all my money. I went broke. In fact, I had to loan money. I was in Hong Kong at the time. I had to loan money from a friend to buy my plane ticket to come back to the UK. Now, the only reason I left Hong Kong is because, well, I could have, let's put it this way, I could have gone back to investment banking at any point. But I left Hong Kong because I knew that if I came back to the UK, my overheads would be low and I could continue to be an entrepreneur. I desperately wanted to succeed and I didn't want to go back into investment banking because my happiness was paramount. So although all of my businesses failed at that point, it was actually a baptism by fire. So I got to learn a lot about business. And I would say that that has actually stood me in good stead about what I want, what good business is, how one should practice business, customer service, sales, all of those things. It takes a long time if you are a corporate individual, because the corporate structure is so sanitized that you believe that you can do whatever you want. But when you come into the business world, you find that it's actually very, very different.
So what do you think now that you have gone through a number of businesses that have not worked, you have one up and running that is working, what would you say are like the core principles that you think anybody going through the same journey and same path that you've taken, what are the core principles that they need to make sure they get rock solid?
Well, first of all, and I don't always like to use this term because I believe it's used incorrectly, but you have to leave your ego at the door. And that is a big mistake that I always had. I always believed that everything that I'd learned in my corporate life would make me successful. And a lot of people get caught up in that belief and that ego of themselves. So I had to lose a lot of that for myself along the way. And that's why I really needed to go through that baptism by fire, because I was being driven a lot by ego. I was being driven by greed. Again, that's another thing that people need to check. And I was also driven by fear as well. Again, that's something that those are principles that people need to put aside. Another thing people need to understand is that an idea is not going to make you well. It's not necessarily going to make you wealthy. You have to. It is the execution of that idea. And that is the key to business. You have to execute properly. Another thing that people need to put in place is good lead generation. That is another thing that I failed to do in the early days. I wasn't generating enough leads for my business. And ultimately, without having good lead generation and sales in place, your business will be starved of new business. And if you keep chasing that new business without having any recurring revenue model in place, again, those things are going to kill your business. So those are some things that you need to put in place. I mean, there are a million others. So for instance, being willing to learn and to pivot as well. We can talk about this for hours and hours, but those are some of the key things that I have learned.
Those are great. And thank you for sharing those. So now let's talk about what you do in your core business right now. What is working? Whom do you serve? What do you accomplish with clients, et cetera?
Sure. So the core of my business is LinkedIn. specifically enabling my clients to increase their revenue via the platform. And what we provide is a LinkedIn lead generation as a service to enable sales professionals and the businesses that they work for to generate B2B leads via LinkedIn. So on average, we enable our clients to generate 10 to 15 additional high ticket sales appointments per month, which increases their revenue. And remember what I said before, that lead generation is the lifeblood of any business. A lot of people forget that. But the main value that I say we provide to our clients is saving them time. And that is really a key distinction because a lot of people believe that what we do is simple. And in many respects, it is. But it is doing all of these things on a consistent basis that is really important. And what I say to my clients is that while you focus on running your core business, we focus on growing it for you. The type of clients that I tend to serve are usually medium to large size businesses that sell a high ticket product or service. And they're looking for experts to actually generate them leads via LinkedIn or to generate them leads and increase their sales in general. Now, it doesn't have to be medium to large size businesses, and it doesn't necessarily have to be B2B as well. But those are our ideal clients. We can also work with small businesses and startups as well, but they need to be selling a high ticket product or service because that's best for LinkedIn.
Okay. So what's your definition of a high ticket product or service?
I take a product or service or something that is worth thousands of dollars per sale. That is what I generally deem as a high ticket product or service. But of course, there are numerous other factors as well that come into play with that. So I'm ideally looking for clients that understand their business really well, that have been in business for a long period of time. So they understand their business, the direction that it's going in. They understand their customer segmentation and who their ideal customers or clients are. So we don't want to have to come in and decide all of those things for them. They need to be clear on that rather than pivoting every time. So if we put in place the lead generation and then they suddenly say, oh, we're looking for a different kind of client, or we changed our mind. See, those kind of things wouldn't work. We need to understand that right from the beginning.
What's a good example of the kind of client where you can be most helpful?
At the moment, we're working with a client that wants to raise $10 million. Now, that's not necessarily I'll give you an example, a different example. So we're working with a SaaS company that provides enterprise software to medium to large size businesses. So they provide technology. So when they provide this technology, it is worth they can make a minimum of $10,000 to $12,000 per sale. And now this is our ideal customer. So it's a medium-sized business. So 51 to 200 employees. They understand exactly who their client is. So they're looking for, so it's medical devices. So they're looking specifically for customers that focus on that. And as I said, it's enterprise software as well. High ticket item, 10 to 12,000 per sale.
What was their condition before bringing you on?
So for this particular example, it was one of the sales professionals. So this was an individual within the sales team. So we don't always just work with a business. Sometimes we work with one of the sales professionals who decides that he wants to get his revenue up. So in this particular situation, Mark was, he'd only been working for the company for 3 months, and he wasn't able to generate much revenue. So once we came on board, we put in place a number of things. So one of the things that we did is his profile views went up by 100%. Which is really good. So we started off by optimizing his profile. We put in place some growth strategies. His profile views went up. And then over the course of 3 months, they went up about 1,500%. We started releasing content for him as well. So started getting him a lot more visibility on the LinkedIn site. And that this also had the effect of giving him authority status on LinkedIn. So this, along with connecting with the right customers, engaging in groups as well, all of these different growth strategies, they started to make a real difference. And in the end, he was getting, on average, an additional 12 high ticket sales appointments per month.
And one other question about this particular situation.
Sure.
With the greater visibility and the content, mm-hmm. were the leads reaching out to this individual, or was the individual reaching out to the contacts on LinkedIn?
Sure. So the purpose of the initial outreach is for, and when I say that, I mean cold messages. So
right.
we put in place messaging campaigns as well as in-mails as well as open link campaigns. So those cold messages, they have those are initially outbound, which is really important. But then we also put in place the content marketing as well, and curating his content. So, and as well as engaging with his on his clients' content as well. So those eventually have the effect over about 3 to 4 months. Then you will start getting inbound leads. And that's what he started getting. So by the third to the fourth month, he started having clients approach him rather than the other way around. We still did both, though. But then he started to get inbounds as well.
It makes sense, because content marketing is generally a longer lead until you get some kind of inbound results.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, Femi, this is a great description of your own journey, and also what you have created that worked. And you're really clear about your niche and what you do and what you offer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I spoke to a friend and I told him what I was doing. And then he said to me, why are you not working with Instagram? Why are you not working with Facebook? Why are you not working with Snapchat? And I said to him that, you know, rather than being a social media expert, my core aim is really to understand LinkedIn and really become an expert on LinkedIn. Although it seems very simple, and in many respects it is, these things need to be done on a continual basis, on an ongoing basis. So I would say that I recommend a minimum of 2 hours per day on LinkedIn, and that's a minimum. So we provide this ongoing service. We get to understand LinkedIn, any of the changes that come about on LinkedIn, any of the nuances. Those things are really key to building up a successful lead generation campaign on the platform. So the challenge is really educating the audience on what works and what doesn't work. And demonstrating that value can sometimes be challenging.
Well, I have to tell you, Femi, in spite of what your friends may say, these techniques might seem easy if you know how to use them. But if you don't know how to use them, they're definitely not easy. So congratulations on figuring out and conquering this niche and doing a great job at it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, a lot of people say sales is easy as well, but I mean, I tell you, there may be some basic processes that you need to put in place, but not everyone can be a salesperson. I really take my hat off to salespeople, because we work predominantly with the salespeople to generate them leads. We generate the leads for them, and then they go out and they close the business.
Yeah, no, that sounds very good. Now let's talk a little bit about your revenue model, particularly okay. since you have tried a number of different businesses. I'd love to hear a little bit about your own struggles trying to create recurring revenue and achieve mm-hmm. the objectives that help you work towards your personal goals that you described at the outset of this discussion, and like what you've tried and what you have found works pretty well.
Okay. Let's start with the bad, first of all. Now, I said at the beginning that I spent about 3 years working on the bad. So we can talk about that for a long time, but I'll give you two examples. One of the things that I did when I first came into being an entrepreneur was commission-only deals. So I was working on commission-only deals, and I was brokering a variety of commodities. So gold, oil deals as well. Now, the thing about these commission-only deals is that you can make a lot of money. So if you were to successfully put together an oil deal or a gold deal, you could make $100,000 to $100,000 to $200,000, maybe even more, just from one deal. However, these deals are incredibly complicated. And I mean, incredibly complex. So for example, you could be negotiating you could be brokering one of these deals, and then war suddenly breaks out in that country and your deal is dead. Or let's say the people that you bring together, they don't get along and your deal is dead. So I spent maybe about a year doing that. So although many of them came close, it just didn't work because they were too complex and I really didn't have a handle on this. So that's what I talked about a bit about being greedy. I was being too greedy. I wanted to make $500,000 in one go. Very, very difficult, very complex, and also not my expertise. The second thing that I worked on was multi-level marketing. Again, not necessarily a bad business, but there are a lot of amateurs in the space which killed the multi-level marketing business. And one of the mistakes that I made was to not properly vet one of the business I was going into. And it turned out to be a fraudulent business. Unfortunately for me, I'd already invited some of my other friends into the business and the deal collapsed. So we ended up losing money. And they certainly lost a good chunk of money. And I mean, still today, I mean, that really irks me because it was they only went into that business based upon the trust that I gave it. And, you know, I mean, I still feel terrible about that. And I hope to make them right one day. So let's talk about the good. So for any business to grow, they need sales. And for LinkedIn, what is required, as I said before, is an ongoing strategy, i.e. you should be performing these tasks on a daily basis. And I said previously that I recommend a minimum of 2 hours per day on a weekly basis. And that is what we provide. We provide an ongoing monthly service whereby we manage our clients' LinkedIn presence so that they don't have to. And how we've achieved this practically is by getting our message out there so that to as many people as possible. Now, they might not be interested themselves, but perhaps they know someone that is. And so that is how we have gained our recurring revenue, by packaging it in a monthly package and also doing a lot of lead generation via the LinkedIn platform.
And did you decide right from the outset that you wanted to create a price structure that was a monthly fee price structure?
No, actually, one of another mistake that I made is that I was providing a one-off service. So I would optimize people's profiles. I would charge them about $300, $400, and that was it. One-off fee, and they walk away into the sunset. And as I said, that's the mistake that I made. I never went to my clients and asked them if they wanted something that was ongoing, if they needed, you know, management on a monthly basis. So I didn't decide that straight away. I made the mistake of providing a one-off service. Until it was actually a business coach who said to me, he said, look, you need to really find a way to upsell your clients. So if you are going to just optimize their profile, then you need to be able to upsell it. And I sat back and I thought, okay, how do I upsell this? And I did research and I found other people that were in this space and I found out what they were doing. And I really, I actually started to copy what they did. But then I believe I'm doing it better than they are.
And is there a particular question you think people should be asking themselves right at the outset when they're creating a new offering so that they go straight to recurring revenue as opposed to starting with something transactional and then having to go through the process of figuring out how to upsell?
I think first of all, it's important to really understand what you do and the service you provide and really, really get to that basic understanding that this is the service I provide and I can actually be effective in providing this. And I would say also speak to your clients as well and find out what their pain points are. A lot of businesses have trouble with lead generation, effective lead generation, and with sales as well. Recurring sales. And so these are the reasons why I decided to start this business. So don't think in terms of providing a one-off service. How can you provide some sort of ongoing service to your clients? I would also say that you should conduct a Google search of what your competitors are doing. As I said, I looked at what my competitors in this space were doing. And yeah, I mean, I really copied what they're doing, but improved it as well. And yeah, ask yourself, how can you add value to your clients?
And how can you add value to your clients every single month?
Yes, yes, exactly. How can you add value to them on a monthly basis? Or if you don't do it on a monthly basis, maybe on a 3-monthly basis or on a 6-monthly basis. But having that that ongoing relationship with them is really important for recurring revenue. You don't want to be chasing clients all the time at points where maybe the season starts to dip. You have a seasonal business. If it starts to dip, then you're out of pocket. And yeah, all of these questions are very important.
Exactly. So, Femi, whom do you know personally who has done a remarkable job at smashing the plateau?
I have a good friend of mine. He runs a huge commodities-based operation. And every time I sit down with him and speak to him, I'm actually in awe of what he's put together, the empire, the entire business. Then he reminds me that he's been doing this for over 10 years. So it's been 10 years in the making. In any case, it's still highly, highly impressive. But what I would say is that, you know, these things take time. I don't want to say they take patience, because I don't like to use that term, because a lot of people can be waiting and waiting and waiting, and they get stuck in that cycle of waiting. But I would just say, be tenacious with what you're doing. So another example I would use is T. Harv Eker. So I don't know him personally, but his empire is 12. It was 12 years in the making. So he was broke for 12 years before he actually became a millionaire. Now, a lot of people hear that and they will get fearful. But, you know, I say that should give people, well, if anything, they should be in awe of that. But it should give people inspiration as well, that you just need to be tenacious. You need to stick at it. And eventually, if you stay in the water long enough, hopefully you'll learn to swim.
Just like you have.
Absolutely. Although I can't swim. And that's probably why I always use that example.
Sounds great. Femi, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
My website, linkedoptimization.com, or please get in touch with me via LinkedIn as well. I'm always on the platform. I wake up in the morning and it's the first thing that I log into, and I log out just before I go to sleep. A very bad habit, but I'm an entrepreneur, and this is my baby, and I have to take care of it.
Well, congratulations on what you've created.
Thank you very much, David.
And Femi, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau, sharing your story, your insights, and your wisdom that will help other people who are trying to do what you've done. My guest today has been Femi Openaya, Linked Optimization. Thank you again, Femi, for joining us.
Thank you.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today we discussed how to get over your fear of getting started and then execute with focus and discipline to build financial success, and how to use a niche to develop a strong recurring revenue sales engine. Email me and let me know what you want to hear from our guests. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.